love Jared Leto.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
As sure as this little fucking marble that we're on is off its fucking axis and we are heading towards another global war. As sure as indictments don't mean dick to people who can afford to get out of indictments and conviction. It sure is. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying right now. Here's what I know. If you have the chance to do something right and you don't do it, shame on you. If you have the chance to be kind to an animal who needs your fucking love and you don't do it, shame on you. If you don't rock the fuck out when you should rock out, shame on you. And if you don't be brutal when you have the fucking chance, shame on you.
I fucking love that. Yes, dude. Yes.
It's amazing.
Fantastic. I'm so impressed right now. That is fucking great. Bonner. It's well done.
Excellent. It was very good.
Yeah. All right.
It's an NFT.
That is fucking, that's a shirt. That's your first shirt on the show.
Ooh, first shirt.
We're going to just print the whole thing.
I like that I have multiple shirts.
Well, you don't yet, but I mean.
Well, but like you're a multi-shirt
said,
man.
You said first. I took so many shirts and so many hats. I'm a sucker for fucking swag.
Oh, dude.
I'm a swag.
Sons of Silver is going to be sending us shit. I just
nice. Pillows?
I hope so.
Monocles?
I said they asked for our shirt size. I hope it's
okay. Nice. I'm a swag slut. Like, if you're a band person, like, if you have a band, you want me at your show. Because I'm like that dude that'll just show up, listen to you once and be like, yep.
Nice.
40, 50 bucks of swag. Guaranteed.
If you want some shit, I'll give you some free shit.
Absolutely. I'll fucking rock your shit. I think it's important because I know as an artist, like you get more off of that than you do ticket sales half the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like you're not cutting anybody else out of your merch. And that's important to me.
We're sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't do our proper intro. Welcome to the Brutal Dudes. We have a special guest star today sitting Petey in Page. Studio oh, for the first time. No, Pete is not here. Pete is at a wedding working on trying to bring two people together in the throes of love. Just not
throes of love.
Throes.
Being horny.
So as his fill in today, we have one of the original Brutal Dudes, CJ. I'm Jay Mack, and that is, as always,
I am Mike.
And we're all here to bring you your comedy feast and festivities for the weekend.
I want to go to Mexico and fucking midget now.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
That's what you got to do. On Coke. Have you guys ever done Coke before, allegedly?
No,
never allegedly. That was a really direct question.
Are we talking midgets on top of Coke?
On Coke.
Midgets.
That was a really fucking
like midgets on.
I'd like to imagine it's just a big mess on the bed of midgets, coke, see, bodily that's fluids.
Not, that's not how I mean. I kind of see it like that. I see it more
one of waste of coke.
I see it like as an organized, more of an organized. You remember the game Mousetrap?
Snort this. There's a whole bunch of vagina goo in my coke.
What was it? That pussy sweat.
It was way rich
pooter.
Rich
pooter sweat. It was pooter sweat. I apologize.
Rich pooter sweat.
I apologize for using the word pussy.
I was good not coughing, and now you made me laugh like that. I'm coughing again. I'm just getting over a cold for anybody who thinks my voice sounds weird. And I just calmed my throat down. Thanks to some delicious, cotton delicious whiskey.
Pooter sweat.
That's a shirt.
That's
oh, we need to make panties. And on the panties, it's going to say rich pooter sweat.
And we could put like a big, looks like a stain, but have it painted onto the, onto it already. And just go scratch and snip, make it like strawberries.
That's disgusting.
Delish.
We got to cut this part out so Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't steal it before we do it.
Yeah.
Good idea. She was pretty stand up in her little issue in the courtroom there.
No. When she was lying on the stand. Yeah, she was totally stand up.
I mean, that dude was, that whole thing was suspicious as fuck. I mean, like $300,000 because like
he skied right in
someone between. Ran into me
right on in between man. Her
fake cash grab.
He was like, oh, I never skied before. Boinky, boinky, boink.
That's why I won't go skiing.
Yeah, right.
I'm too spastically uncoordinated.
I'm afraid.
I'll run into a Gwyneth Paltrow and it'll just ruin my life.
I'm afraid to get finger banged on the bunny scope or the intermediate scope.
Is skiing different than I think it is?
I miss skiing. Skiing was fun.
I have a funny joke about skiing, though. Okay. But I'll tell it in a minute. So
I want to stay, just to interject real quick, I want to stay at like a ski resort, though, because all those 80s and 90s ski movies.
Yeah.
I want to stay at a ski resort, sure, but not actually ski. I just want
to walk around with like a stereo.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Just like a synth. You got a sick synth beat behind you. You're like wearing sunglasses inside, like, what's up, Skyler?
No, they're the sunglasses with the plastic with the slits in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like, Sonny did a really solid homage to
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So did South Park.
Well, I mean, South Park just destroys everything.
That's true.
It's so good.
How I imagine the Coke Midget situation, it's like the game Mousetrap. You remember that game? Mm-hmm. It's like my favorite game of all time, and I never actually played it. I just always set up the trap so that I could set the mouse trap off because it was so much fun. But I imagine that it would be like everything would be in place for it to be how Mike said, which is just chaotic, just semen everywhere or fluids just flowing around, little people bouncing through the air like a slow motion fucking
the way baby Jesus intended.
And then, that's right.
I like that. That's a docking video.
Like you take, like,
you know, remember all those docking videos where it's just midgets and cum and coke everywhere?
You remember that?
Remember Dream Warriors? The director's cut?
For everyone listening at home, my head's doing that thing where you can like shake your head yes and no simultaneously.
But I imagine you take said
midget. Yeah, no.
I imagine you take said midget, right, to start this whole mousetrap off. You grab one arm, tiny little arm, and you grab like the tiny little stub that's the leg, and you go.
Oh, I think so. Sorry.
And you throw him into the pile of the coke first. So that when he hits, it goes like in a cartoon, there's like a cloud of cocaine.
Like you're breading him for deep frying?
Yes, exactly. You're delousing
him. Who is supplying this cocaine? I mean, there's somebody who has purchased my own allegedly.
You're in Mexico.
It still costs money.
You know, as long as you say allegedly, it's cool.
Like allegedly, I may or may not.
Does Mexico even have a government? I don't even think they have a government.
More than anything, though, like it costs money to get cocaine, and throwing somebody into said cocaine is.
Not just somebody. Midget.
Right? Does he deserve it? Do they deserve it?
Listen, does anyone anything in Mexico deserve what they get?
Yeah, there's no gender in a good Coke party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
There's no nothing.
I mean, yeah. Nothing. Exactly. There's no rules. Yeah.
I identify as.
Yeah, you're.
Shoot me up your ass.
Throw a midget into me.
It's another shirt. Shoot me up your ass.
Could you imagine if like CJ just dresses like the fucking J-Puff Coke Mellow Man and then we throw a fucking midget right at him? It goes poof.
I love this. I would do this. I would do this.
We should reenact Ghostbusters as if the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man was made of coke. Okay. Gozer the Gozerian would have a whole new outlook on the character if it was all coke based instead of ghost based.
I wish that movie was more sexual.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, a ghost does like go down on Dan Aykroyd.
Not in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. I guess that's implied.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see it. So, yeah.
But it's not even like heavily implied. He just kind of like.
He's not going to fuck
his character's a weirdo.
He's not going to like. He's like smiling. Not going to go.
I don't know, man. I just feel like it was a really missed opportunity.
It could have been. I feel like John Belushi as Slimer was a missed opportunity as well because he was originally supposed to be Slimer.
Was that who?
That's who.
I remember that. But like, was he like now?
That was what Slimer was based on.
Is he like now?
He died from coke.
Well,
I guess you know what. In retrospect, maybe that's why.
There's a lot more going on.
That would have been a little harder. Eddie Murphy was actually originally supposed to be in the movie.
Yeah,
that would have been weird.
I think it would have been great.
No, he would have overshadowed. I think too much.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think he was. Was he that big at that time? That's 82. What movie was he on?
I just think Eddie Murphy just kind of overshadows everyone.
Yeah.
Every project that he's in.
I think the problem you would have run into is like the all female led Ghostbusters where they're all trying to be the funny lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you would have had
again
a situation where
every female comedy movie ever. Yes, I do remember that one. Where Chris Hemsworth is the only funny character in the entire fucking movie, besides Bill Murray's 5-second cameo.
Well, they had to bring him in and fix it.
You're right. You're right. You're right. That was the best part of the movie, was when he does that thing with the pictures. The rest of the movie was absolute garbage.
I did not like it. Not because it was a female-led cast. I just didn't think it was a good movie.
It was a poorly developed concept. Yeah. That's, we were talking about this not that long ago. I mean, and more than anything, because like I'm a huge fan of equality all across the board. I'm actually
so not, am I, except for comedy.
I'm not.
Even comedy. However, like it itself is not an excuse. Like when we say, okay, like we're gonna put our best foot forward and like do this project, okay, like you still have to invest the time and the effort
right
into developing like a story and not just what kick back and like rely on the fact that we're gonna laugh at the fact that like these are lady jokes. That's the part where like, because even at that point then it becomes like offensive too. I feel like that equality piece where you're like this is
it's the actual,
lazy writing.
It's the actual problem I have with Melissa McCarthy's entire career.
Spy was funny as shit.
What is it?
Spy. With Jason
Statham.
I think if she
is in the right role and they write jokes for her,
sure,
she's hilarious. I'm not saying she's not funny, but what happens with her is she takes these roles because she thinks that she's funnier than she is. So she makes, like, she took Ghostbusters because she's like, oh, this is a perfect vehicle for me. I can make this movie funny. It's like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You're not at that level of humor where you can be Will Ferrell and make anything you do funny, even if it sucks. But you get what I'm saying.
Again, here's a guy. So
but you get what I'm
here's
saying.
The problem. Like, National Lampoon started this, and then I think it carries over into... even later seasons of SNL, it carries over very much into like Judd Apatow movies and that whole like mindset. You can't just like play somebody who's going to just be the same character, who's going to just do their thing in a situation and make a whole fucking movie out of it. It's not a story and it doesn't make that person funny. Now it's just, again, a lazy situation. Like, those movies, those situations are the most funny. I think when there's a fully developed concept and a fully well-cast ensemble around them. Melissa McCarthy is a character actor.
Yes.
She should not be the lead trying to carry a movie. Will Ferrell is a character actor. Should not be the guy trying to carry a movie.
But
paired well with somebody else.
Good, but
that's why, like, him and Mark Wahlberg work together, because somebody has to be.
But he has proven that he can do it. Other people are funny in the movies.
In what?
Talladega Nights.
John C. Reilly was just like
John C. Reilly was great, but he's not a main. He's not like the
lead. The whole cast.
Yeah, the lead. Will Ferrell is the lead, and Will Ferrell's character is legitimately funny.
Everybody else holds that up too. The rest of the cast. They holds on
it up to another
one. And makes it believable. It makes the world believable enough that you can get into
it. Well, and that's just it. Talladega Nights, like you're saying, it's a whole story, a whole concept. Ghostbusters, the female-led one, isn't a story.
No.
They just had the concept of female Ghostbusters and then just stopped.
Right.
Exactly. And didn't put in the work to make it a good movie.
And I think it's part of the reason why, because Bridesmaids, hilarious.
Bridesmaids is funny shit? Yeah.
It's a funny movie. It's the same concept, but it's different enough where it's not. It's not like they took a frat movie and made it female. They took an actual female scenario, which is being a bridesmaid, and they got funny females to be funny bridesmaids.
With 800,000 people just like unliked half of everything.
have you seen
are you a fan of like the Oceans movies, Oceans 11?
Yeah,
okay,
including Oceans 8.
Oceans 8,
I like Oceans.
Good fucking movie,
but
well designed.
Here's the thing,
and it gave
but it wasn't
a reason
yeah but it wasn't a vehicle that was supposed to be tailored towards a specific type of person.
No.
They found Clooney was, everyone in those movies is great. Even 8. I liked 8. I've gone on the show earlier and said when we were talking about X-rated. I liked 8. My problem is, in order to be equal, you can't just take something that's not equal and switch it to make it equal.
The unfair,
it ruins the essence of what you're
the creative. Unfair piece of this though was up until like right now. I mean, like dudes could just walk into any role in any situation, like that was available to them and has been available to them. You know, all the other like female parts that were written were like, you're his girlfriend, his gal Friday, like.
But this is what I'm saying. Like,
that's not equality, though. And like, where I think we're trying, and that's important.
Yes. No. Like,
is trying to.
But this is what you're seeing. You're not saying it's not. Let's make it like the other one that McCarthy was in that I actually enjoy is the one where she's the cop with Sandra Bullock, and I don't remember the name.
Oh yeah.
That movie is funny as shit.
The Heat.
That movie.
That was funny.
The movie's funny. It's good. Because
they're not Sandra Bullock's fucking great.
They're taking the concept, and that's
why it's a buddy comedy,
right? It's a buddy cop comedy. I'm cool if you make.
But you're not just like, oh, we're just gonna let Melissa McCarthy do her thing.
But no, but this is what I'm saying. Like,
if, that's enough.
If you make like you can't take a specific thing like that. Like, if you took The Longest Yard, and you said we're gonna do an all female Longest Yard. It's going to be fucking ridiculous because
watch that,
it's stupid. No, I would never watch it.
Why?
Because A, it ruins The Longest Yard.
Flag football.
Powder Puff Longest Yard. The Longest Yard 2, Powder Puff
Series. I fucking hate that. That's like, it comes up on like my Instagram and stuff all the time because I like follow a bunch of world sports. And like, that's it. When it comes to like, although overseas, like female rugby. Hard fucking core, and that's awesome to watch.
But I also like female ice hockey, like college female ice hockey. They're fucking brutal, dude. They check me. Here's my thing. What's that?
Fucking gross. I don't know why.
I get what you.
Every time I'm like, ooh, female. This
like it's not the real thing. It's the female version. Right. Yeah, like,
it's just
pussy ice hockey.
No, canceled.
Clitoris hockey?
So many questions about that.
See, I think if you were going to do like a female-led version of The Longest Yard, you have to cast people against type, too. You can't just throw like, oh, this is supposed to be funny, so we get these funny women. It'll just
happen. For female like, prisons, and I feel like it could be written.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. You can make a
sports movie. All right, I'm going to throw out one of the greatest sports castings of all time. There was a, I guess he was fairly famous football player, O.J. Simpson, who then really made a name for himself.
In those commercials.
And no, playing against type in The Naked Gun. And I mean, I think when you say the name O.J. Simpson today, that's what people think of.
That hurts, man.
They think of The Naked Gun.
You know what's really funny is like the Naked Gun movies don't get enough. I don't think
they don't. I agree with that.
Because
yeah.
like they think of almost all of that cast, including O.J. Simpson, like none of those people, like Leslie Nielsen was a dramatic actor. Like
yeah.
But Al Bundy was a Shakespearean.
Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill was a Shakespearean actor before he was Al Bundy.
But
he becomes a shoe salesman that's pissed off at his life.
But like Married with Children came like many years later, where it's like Airplane and like Naked Gun movies were like
saying
the predecessor to a lot of stuff. And like I feel like they get very overlooked.
But you could take back to the female thing.
33 and a
30. If you take a concept, that's okay. So like that's why I'm okay with Ocean's 8. Not just okay with it, but like you took it's a heist movie, right? And they made it a heist movie. They didn't make it like, hey, we're gonna follow exactly what happens in this movie. And it's it's his sister, but it's not him. So I'm okay with them tying it to that movie.
Yeah.
And they made their own movie, and it was still really good.
Yeah. Look, the Ocean's movies have like a formula to follow. And right. The fact that they like stuck to that with these like You know, everybody and not all has of them their,
are funny. And I'm going to say that straight out.
It
and
shouldn't be, though, because there's
that Awkwafina chick. I want to punch her in the face, dude. I can't stand
But they her. Shouldn't all be funny. Like CJ is saying, though. They shouldn't all be funny. Right. Yeah. Like,
there right. needs to be an element.
There needs to be balance to it. And that's what Ghostbusters didn't have. They were all trying to be the funny lead at the same time.
Funny funniest.
Yeah.
Like, out joke each like
yeah on, and they're instead of getting a balanced story
like, even and that to me is where it becomes like a slight against even the original Ghostbusters, where it's like, dude, Harold Ramis is straight man to everything,
plus
was brilliant,
plus,
and you have Bill Murray up here out here, and even like Dan Aykroyd is kind of like reining him in just as out there in the other direction, but like still like, dude, you're like, you're fucking around. We need to be serious about this. And then you have Hal Ramis and
Ernie Hudson.
Thank you.
And Ernie Hudson's really like the stand-in for the audience. Like, he's the everyman of the group.
Plus, Hudson, everybody knows that ghosts are afraid, period. So it would never work anymore.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
In fact,
natural blood.
It's in the open spirit guide, actually. You look it up. Period blood. It's in the index.
Who's
going to page 228?
Like human woman period blood, or
where else is it?
Sacrificial lamb period blood. Or,
I mean, I'm not going to run around to a bunch of dogs that are having their period.
I'm just saying. There's a lot of fucking.
Can slap a ghost in the face.
You're not allowed, per Texas, I don't think we're allowed to say period anymore. For Florida?
What do we have? Florida, yeah.
One of those states. No, I don't know.
I think Florida in a week or two is just go to the shed.
the red wedding? Is that what we're
going to call it? Can't say period. What?
Go to your red room.
Go to the red wedding.
Go to your red room.
But no, it's fucking terrifying, though. Like, seriously, man, you like Handmaid's Tale shit. Like, that's how that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so, like, if you take a comic, you can't do The Longest Yard with Dino.
Can't say period.
You can do a sports movie that's like The Longest Yard from a female perspective. I'm totally cool with
that. I mean, the concept is
yes, but to do The Longest Yard as females, like as an all female cast. Or to put it in another way, so it's not as extremely offensive to females. If that, like when like African Americans, we were talking about this with X-Rated a couple of weeks ago. It's when they take like a movie that's like an all white cast, and then they make it an all black cast. It's like you're not
Just like Ghostbusters. That's not a story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like when they did Uncle Buck with Mike Epps as Uncle Buck,
which I didn't even know happened.
Yeah, until it's we were talking about for that. Like four episodes, and it sucked because. The essence of Uncle Buck is not that he's a white guy. The essence of Uncle Buck is that he's a funny, crazy uncle. Like, so just replacing him with
another fucking crazy. Yeah. He threatened a kid with a fucking hatchet. Yeah.
It's great. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't just.
Not in
like,
2023 America.
2023 America. Fuck America. But like that.
There's a shirt.
Fuck 20. You know what? Fuck America.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't. And that's.
You know what? I want to see them reboot. Naked Gun, so that it gets. They need to do one of those reboots, though.
Black people?
No, they need to do one of those reboots where they bring back. But do a reboot where they bring some people back, like beloved actor O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson,
and bring him back in like a small role. I mean, what has he done? Like, if you Google him, it's like football, Naked Gun. Then what? Nothing.
He has really good commentary on murder.
Yeah, nothing after that.
Which he doesn't know anything about because he's never committed a murder. Allegedly. But yeah, anyway, so that's my rant about that. I just like, I'm okay if you.
I'm gonna throw out there that OJ is innocent.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I do. Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
So I don't think Michael Jackson's innocent, but OJ.
Innocent of what?
Really?
Yeah.
That's my point.
Innocent of what?
Everything.
Wait until the dude's like no longer around. He touched kids. I mean, like, shit. I
think he's guilty of making 10 of the best songs I've ever heard in my life. That's what he's guilty of.
That's a great, great way to put it.
Like, yeah, working day and night is my anthem, dude. I don't know if he really worked day and night. I don't feel like he did. I feel like he only worked during the day, and then at night he slept, and he thought about baboons and chimpanzees and Ferris wheels. And
it's really tough. Michael Jackson's a tough case to even like delve into and analyze. I mean, troubled individual.
Yeah.
Tortured from, I don't know, day one, I'm assuming.
Not as universally beloved as, say, an OJ, but somebody who definitely has a fan base.
It's tough to embrace.
He doesn't have that international thing like OJ does.
Right. OJ Simpson, family man, beloved actor.
Not nearly as big of a fall from grace as like a Bill Cosby.
He doesn't have a good nickname like the Juice. All it was Jacko.
So here's part of the thing, and a couple of comedians have pointed this out. In fact, the Chris Rock special, he mentioned it as well.
Before we continue, mm-hmm. I'd just like to point out that Michael Jackson did a song called Ghosts, and we all know that he really didn't like ladies. So period blood scared the ghost. I'm just going back to that.
That's proof. That's proof.
Is that part of the lyrics?
May I read the ghost? Menstruation is not for me. I'm a ghost. Shimon, I'm a ghost. Menstruation.
I'm a ghost.
Shimon. No period blood. Tampons, get out of my house. Buckle the chip out. Throw a bit of blood at me. Shove on.
It's like his spirit's in the room with us. See, here's the thing, though, and I've seen it. Chris Rock mentioned it. Dave Chappelle's talked about this. With Michael Jackson, with the accusations against him, whether you believe he did it or didn't do it, with the accusations against him, it's harder to let go of Michael Jackson's music because it reached such an immense audience.
It's good.
And as much as like R. Kelly had really big hits, R. Kelly didn't make Thriller.
No.
So it's easier.
There's also, and granted, it was a different time. However, there is no hard evidence.
Yes.
Which is a big deal as far as I'm concerned.
For R. Kelly, especially, because there you actually can see him peeing on someone.
Well, it's this
allegedly.
It's also the same thing as like a Bill Cosby. Like, there's enough evidence there now. We're like, we got you. More like O.J. Simpson.
Totally innocent OJ Simpson.
Very little hard evidence there.
It's Red Albert.
There was, I don't know if you remember. So how familiar with Bill Cosby's career are you guys?
I mean, I would like
to I won't say intimately, but
okay. But you have a good, like, yeah. Okay. So those accusations, a lot of people forget. Those accusations had dogged him for quite a while. And it was even a bit that he did for a while about it because of the accusations. But when they were brought up again most recently, that's what led to his...
I was going to riff on that. But even in my head,
his incarceration. When his trial was coming up, I don't know if you guys remember, some obviously fired publicist came up with this idea to keep his name out there because... When his trial was coming up, that he had a special that was about to come out and a bunch of other stuff that was all canceled. He had a new movie and a special and all that stuff that was done and canceled and never released. So to try to, you know, course correct, they came up with this idea of a Bill Cosby meme generator on his website. So you would go on, it would just pull you up a random picture of Bill Cosby and you could write in your own caption and it would post the meme with no filter on this. The dumbest thing anybody's ever created, ever. It was amazing. For like the day and a half that was up, it was the greatest moment of my life. Because like first one you see pop up, it's like, hey, I'm Bill Cosby. I love Jell-O and rape. Like it was just from the very first one down. I mean, it was just thousands of, it was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And what white PR person every
was like, you know,
this is a good idea.
The kids love the memes. We should give them a generator.
I think that's a very good idea. We should put the memes on the computer. Phil Florin Phil.
That's so great. I don't think, to your point earlier, Dave Chappelle, I think his commentary about Bill Cosby, his joke about that is the greatest thing that I think could ever be said. I will not repeat it because it won't do it justice. If you've not heard it, worth giving it a listen to. I believe it's in part two of like his initial return to stand-up comedy. It is
I'm trying to remember it.
It is phenomenal. So he gets very, very serious. I think he actually right beforehand like bums a cigarette off of somebody like in the crowd.
Okay.
And like sits down on the stool and he's just like, listen, you know, watching this man like go through this, like this was my hero. And I can't imagine as a young black comedian, like watching this man who broke down barriers go through this, become this, or show his true self as this. It had to be beyond heartbreaking. And he kind of sets it up like that. And he pretty much presents it as like, you know, what if he was the superhero, right? And he saves more than he rapes, but he has to rape to save. And the way he sets this joke up, it is unbelievably profound.
The greatest comedic mind of our generation.
It is phenomenal. Dave, I think it's one of the best jokes.
Dave, if you ever listen to ever our landed, show,
it's not.
If you ever listen to our show and you hear this episode, I said it and I mean it. Greatest comedic mind of our generation.
It is not outward hilarity. It's not that it's moment. Not. It is just one of those. Comedy. The way he constructs this joke and gets comedy. To that punchline. It's
phenomenal. His natural talent as a comedian is what always drew me. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. There's a clip on YouTube. I don't know if it's recent or if it's the Def Comedy Jam's 25th anniversary or something like that. Him and D.L. Hughley are announcing something. They're like, I wasn't until this.
Okay.
Dave Chappelle is reading off a teleprompter and he bucks it up and they go off script just riffing on each other for like 20 fucking minutes. And they're like, Chappelle is like literally just naturally having the entire audience is crying hysterically laughing at Dave Chappelle doing these fucking jokes because he's just going off the top of his head about reading off a teleprompter about what he's supposed to say about this certain thing. And he's just, and the punchline at the end is like, just so like, it's just so not what you're the essence of it. And I'm not going to ruin it by saying it, but it's like, you're just like, that's what he was getting to. And he's like, that's why I can't say this with a straight face. And then he just keeps going. He's like, it's buy a ticket to a show because I'm like, if he says anything that's remotely like this on the fuck at the fuck,
he's incredible.
I can't wait. Like, I'm
he is pretty incredible. I will say, his very specifically that like that Bill Cosby bit brought me all the way back to like, you know, the first episode of his show where he's doing like the black white supremacist, which is just.
Oh, it's one of my favorite. Right, yeah.
This man, like
one of my favorite. Unbelievable. Things. Yeah,
unbelievable. I mean, I remember watching that happen on TV, and I was like, "What the fuck is going on right now?"
Because I was always a Stern fan, and at the time, we were listening to Stern because I was talking to my friend Matt, and we were both big Chappelle fans from before, just a stand up, and I was like, "I have all the stand up on the ones you could get on DVD. Yeah. I had them all, and we would, and then he did." They're like, oh, he promoted it on Stern Show. And I was like, dude, we got to watch this show. It's going to be so awesome. My friend Matt was like, yeah, dude, we got to check it out. And I remember we planned, like, we had, like, a party for it. And, like, it was us and, you know, his girlfriend and a couple of people we brought over. And we watched. And I remember that skit came. The whole thing was funny.
Dude.
But that skit comes on.
Dude.
And I was like, I'll tell you the other one that I really like.
That skit always gets me. And it's the punchline of the end of he leaves his wife
because is, yes yeah, I
that's I to this day if I watch that I just laugh hilariously even knowing every bit of it. 100%.
Yeah, my other favorite one that they did was my two favorite bits. I think it's the same episode, but it's later on. I don't know if it's season two or season one, but he does where what if Grand Theft Auto was real life.
Yeah,
and he runs down the steps like sideways like in Grand Theft Auto, and then he like stabs the guy and kills him to get his car, and then just jumps in the car. It's like, bye, honey. And then later on, they did Godzilla, and Dave Chappelle's Godzilla when he went to visit Japan. Yeah. And he does the fucking punch out punches, and he's like, tell your friends about me. And he goes, ready, just like with the one. And I'm like, dude, that's
yes. Crazy. Yeah.
This is my favorite.
Man, I will say,
love me
that. So. That man earned so much respect points when he got to the point of like he was done dealing with Comedy Central and like that agenda, and the fact that he like left his own show
at the peak of its popularity. That's what cracked
peak me of up. Its popularity to like just like, be most like, people I'm, do that. I'm done with this.
Most people do that, and it's like dumb. And his movie,
big respect
that he did after that, The Block Party.
Yeah,
that movie was great. I saw that in the theater and I was laughing my ass off. It was just so poignant in general. And then everything he's done since then has just been like, I love it. I love
well, all let me stuff. Ask you guys, as long as, because we've kind of wandered into this territory a little bit. So, you know, talk about Michael Jackson, whether or not you think he's guilty or innocent.
Danced around the topic.
We've left blood on the dance floor. Or
blood, that means there's no
chasing away ghosts.
He's not there.
He exercised the dance floor. So
oh man, my brain immediately went to Ace Ventura. We have exercised the dance.
But talking about him, talking about R. Kelly, totally innocent O.J. Simpson, things like that. Where do you guys fall on the whole separating the art from the artist? Like, let's just assume they're all guilty. Mm. Does it change you enjoying the content that they've made, or where is that cutoff for you? Are some okay and other ones not? Yeah. Like,
so I'm okay with enjoying.
Yeah, like you're like yeah. There is,
because you finally got to like the part of the question where like my brain was like, but then it was like, because sometimes some stuff I can separate from
I agree
an artist, because certain stuff is personal shit, like it doesn't affect anybody else but you, and like look, you could be an asshole.
I'll tell you
and, really, and some of what you presented is that like Gary, harmed, but Gary, like, if you've harmed other people in your shit,
if you're still getting a residual from your art by me listening to it, that's where I draw the line. So like Michael Jackson is dead.
What?
He no longer receives anything. I don't even think his. Maybe his kids do. His kids, whatever.
I don't believe you.
Maybe they get residual from his. And I'm okay with that, because his kids, quite honestly, are going to be fucked up. There's not a real good hope that they're not going to turn into.
Paris Jackson's an actress now.
Yeah, she's doing okay.
Yeah, I liked her in the couple things I've seen her in.
What was she in?
I saw her in American Horror Story and something else, and she was good.
I'm not. If she's getting it right.
I almost got an actual spit tape.
She gave the other Paris a run for her money.
Yeah.
No.
That's fucking hot. That's fucking hot. That's fucking hot. Yeah. That's my Paris open voice, baby.
I'm glad I wasn't attracted to her to begin with. You would have ruined that for me.
Because
I'm looking at you.
I'm sampling that so fucking hot.
I'm saying that. I'm like,
are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Blacklight right now.
I've never seen it the same way ever again.
You're blacklight, and I have like blue eyes, like when you look at porn, but you don't subscribe to the channel.
It's like glowy eyes.
You're looking at a negative version of the negatives of the porn film.
I think Parrish. I think. All the Jackson children will be.
Here's my point. But the point is, whether or not they're fine or not, whatever, good for them. I'm saying money wise, if he's not getting the money anymore, because again, he was never proven to be guilty. Let's lay that out first. Like
again, I'm saying assume the worst.
So you're saying assume he's guilty.
Assume the worst. What's the trade off for you? The
music that he made that I enjoy.
Okay,
I will still enjoy that music if I know that the money's going to him to be more rich. That makes it tougher for me to enjoy the music, because then I'm like, I'm contributing to downfall of society. This is the end.